Our scripture lesson this morning comes from two of the books in the New Testament, beginning with the fourth chapter of Philippians, verses 4 through 7, and the 16th chapter of Acts, verses 22 through 25. From the book of Philippians, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let all men know your forbearance. The Lord is at hand. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." And from the book of Acts, "The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet into the stocks. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, and let us all say, amen. There was a man who had real bad eyesight. So he decides that he's going to go to the optometrist's office. He opens the door and he says to the receptionist, "I think I need to get my eyes checked." Part of what I want us to do today is to have our eyes checked. This is the fourth and the last Sunday when we're talking about our theme, Stress Out. And what I want us to think about is our eyes. How many of you are farsighted? Anybody farsighted here? I see a couple of hands. Farsighted is when you see things up close, blurry, but the farther away they are, the clearer they seem. How many of you are nearsighted? Okay. Nearsighted is kind of the opposite of that. The things that are close to you seem clear, and then the further away they are, the more blurry they get. Then how many of you might have 20/20 vision? All right, I think maybe even some more of us can raise our hands because we all should have 20/20 vision this year, right? Okay, that was a bad one. But I want to challenge us, though, that today we need to have new vision. The Apostle Paul had a goal. He'd always dreamed of going to Rome to preach the gospel there. See, Paul knew that if he could go to Rome and preach the gospel there, that God could use him in a mighty way. It could affect and change and save a lot of people. So this is a good news, bad news situation. The good news is Paul made it to Rome, but the bad news is instead of making it to Rome as a preacher, Paul ends up in Rome as a prisoner. In fact, he wrote the whole book of Philippians while he was under house arrest, and he was chained to Roman guards 24 hours a day. They were on probably 8-hour shifts. A new guard every 8 hours would come, and there Paul was the whole time. He's not certain of what's going to happen to him. He could spend more time in jail. He could be released. He could be beaten, or he could be executed. And it's under the weight of this situation that the Holy Spirit gives him these words to say. And here's what he says. Would you read it with me? "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." That's short, so let's say it again. "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice." I love that. It's a great verse to memorize. It's a great song to sing when you're at church camp. It's a great T-shirt slogan, but can I tell you when it might be hard to hear? When things are really going bad. When you get a flat tire and it's dark and your cell phone's dead and you have to get out by the edge of the road and change your own tire. The last thing you want is someone to say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. You're like, oh, really? When you're in the hospital and the doctor's saying it doesn't look good, it's hard to hear then, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. When you're in the courtroom and the judge doesn't see it your way, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. It's hard to hear it then. So how is it that Paul cannot just say these words, but live these words when he's locked up? How could Paul rejoice when he dreamed to go to Rome as a preacher, but he wakes up in Rome every morning as a prisoner? Here's the answer. I think it's all about perspective. It's all about perspective. It's about how you look at things. The word perceive in Latin actually means to look through. I remember about a decade ago, there was a craze that was going on called hidden pictures. And hidden pictures are pictures that look like normal prints or patterns, but they have a hidden picture deep within. And I got a picture of one of them here. And so it looks like a normal pattern, but within the pattern, there's a 3D image that'll jump out at you. And I can remember, sitting there trying to look and trying to figure out how to do these things. And someone told me, well, you got to relax your eyes. You can't stare at the pattern specifically. You have to look through the pattern. You have to look beyond it to see the image. So here's what I'm going to do just for a moment here. I tried this on Friday, and I was able to find it. I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to see if you can find the hidden image in here. I'll give you guys about 30 seconds or so, and we'll just see if anyone can see it. So let me see if I can figure this out. Do I hear Frank Huber snoring? Does anyone see it yet? Art, are you saying you see something? You can see it? Okay. All right. Anybody else see it? Everybody else is clueless. Okay. Well, I'm not going to tell you what it is because I don't want to ruin it for you. But let's bring the lights back up. I will say this. It's about the perspective. It's about where you see it from and how you're able to look through things. The Apostle Paul, he could have looked at his situation at face value and said, you know what, this is really bad. In fact, there's one version in which Paul says something exactly like that. It's in the PPV, which stands for the pain perspective version. You might never have heard of that because I just made it up. The pain perspective version of the Bible. But that's quite often how we look at things from our own situation. And if you'll allow me, I imagine that if Paul was writing from the pain perspective version of the Bible, he might have said something like this. He didn't say this, but he might have said something like this. Now, I want you to know, brethren and sistren, that what happened to me really stinks. And because God let me down, I'm overwhelmed with stress and anxiety, and I quit. Now, did Paul say that? No. But have we thought things like that when we're coming from a perspective of pain? Yes. But that's not how Paul looked at it. Paul looked at it in a different way. He looked through the pain. He looked beyond it. And I'm not trying to minimize the situation. He never minimized the situation. Instead, he looked through it and saw from a perspective of praise. And this is what he actually says in Philippians 1, 12 through 14. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has really served to do what? To advance the gospel. So that it has become known throughout the whole Praetorium Guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brethren have been made confident in the Lord because of my imprisonment. Now let me ask you, did the situation change? No, Paul was still locked up. Did God change? No, God was still God. But when Paul decided to praise God, Paul changed. Paul remembered that God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Paul remembered that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Paul has his eyes checked and he looks through the picture and he realizes that he's not the one in prison. He's the preacher that has a captive audience. Here he's got chained to him every 8 hours, a new guard that he can share the gospel message to. And the result is that all of the guards in the praetorium have come to understand that my imprisonment is for Christ. And not only that, most of the brethren have been made confident in the Lord. Why? Because of my imprisonment. When we change our perspective, we're able to see that what we go through can advance the gospel. I came across a story about a young man who turned his worst experience into one of his most powerful experiences. I want to show you the quick video of it.
A 10-year-old is abducted from right in front of his home in Atlanta, Georgia, only to be released a few hours later. And you will not believe how he got the kidnapper to let him go. Trace Gallagher knows. Trace?
He did it by singing, Megan. It really has become the song heard around the world, and police say it may very well have saved the life of 9-year-old Willie Myrick. Willie says he was in his front yard. He bent down to pick up some money, and that's when someone grabbed him, threw him in their car, and took off. Listen now to 9-year-old Willie Myrick.
I didn't know what he was doing until he, grabbed me, and he drove me off to East Point. He told me he wouldn't hear a word from me, so I ain't say nothing.
Oh, he didn't talk. Instead, he started singing a gospel song called Every Praise. Willie says the man cursed at him, telling him to shut up, but he kept singing for 3 hours until the man finally stopped the car and told him to get out. The boy ran to a nearby home, asked the homeowner to call his guardian. By that time, police were already canvassing the city and quickly picked him up, saying the song saved him. Now, listen to Willie sing the song on a local radio station.
Every praise is to our God, every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God.
He was saying, shut up.
Yeah.
Everybody's heard it. Willie Myrick even got to meet Hezekiah Walker, the Grammy winner who actually wrote Every Praise. Police still do not have any leads on the suspect. They're hoping the sketch we showed you earlier might generate some tips in this case.
Unbelievable. I love him. I want to know Willie.
I want to know Willie, and I want to know Willie's God. I love to think about the power of praise in that young man's life. When he goes through a tough situation, from now on, his instant go-to is going to be to give praise to God in the midst of difficult times. I want to share this with you. This wasn't the only time that Paul had a perspective of praise while he was in prison. There's another time that's recorded in Acts 16. We read it also as a part of our scripture lesson. Paul and Silas are arrested for casting out an evil spirit and a possessed woman. And here's what happens. It says in Acts 16, 22 through 24, the crowd joined in attacking them. The magistrate tore the garments off of them and gave orders for them to be beaten with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they were thrown into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. Well, I'm trusting that none of you were stripped of your clothes and beaten this past week. But there might be some of us who feel like we've been stripped of our confidence. There might be some of us who feel like we've been stripped of our faith and beaten with stress and beaten with anxiety and beaten with the problems that we're going through. You're trying to do everything possible to hold on to your faith in difficult times. But let me just remind you, Paul and Silas were doing everything right. They were preaching, they were teaching, they were healing in Jesus' name. And here's what they get for it. Thrown into prison, whipped, beaten, and what do they decide to do? I'm going to give you multiple choice here. Did they A, decide to complain about how unfair their situation was? B, compare who's got the most bruises? C, call their lawyer? Or D, praise God. They praise God. It says this in Acts 16:25, but about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Now, the most important thing to get a hold of here is when it happened. When they were singing hymns and praying to God, they were praising God while they were still prisoners. While they were still prisoners. In other words, they praised before they ever experienced God's provision. They weren't praising God for what he'd already done. They were praising God for who he already is. This wasn't praise for provision. This was praise before provision. Praise for the character, for the nature, and for the goodness of God. And I think that that's important for us to understand. It's so easy sometimes for us to praise after I'm released, then I'll praise. After this stress time's in, then I'll praise. No, it happens before. So here's how the story ends. God shows up in the middle of their praise. God shakes open the jail cells and cracks open their shackles through an earthquake. God does this miraculous rescue for them. Now, I want to tell you how that ended, because I think it's important for us to look at that in light of what Paul is saying in Philippians. So in Acts, they praise the very first night. Midnight, they thrown in jail. Midnight, praise God, and God does what? Releases them the very first night. That's what happened in Acts. Look what happens over here in Philippians. Paul's thrown in jail. Paul praises God. First night passes by. Midnight. His experience says, God released me at midnight before. Praise God. At midnight, does he get released? Praises God the whole week. Does he get released? The whole month. Another whole month. Does he get released? No. But you know what he says? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. What does that tell me? It tells me that Paul is saying rejoice when he delivers you and rejoice when he doesn't deliver you. Because praise isn't about what God has done, but it's about who God is. Praise him because what others meant for bad, God means for good. Praise him because your worst moment will be another person's inspiration. Praise him because greater is he that is within us than he that is within the world. There's a man who has real bad eyesight. So he decides that he's going to go to the optometrist's office. He opens the door and he says to the receptionist, I think I need to get my eyes checked. She says, no kidding. This is the woman's restroom. Church, today we need to get our eyes checked. The real question isn't whether we're nearsighted or farsighted. The question is, in all situations, can we have a perspective of praise? Amen?